And now, the internet's favorite podcast, Podcastrated, with your hosts, Brad and Caleb.
All right, how you guys doing? Come on in, sit down, relax. You're listening to Podcastrated, a best friends podcast. It's a life podcast, a personal journal, an entryway into the minds, the souls, the hearts, the lives of the people involved in the Greater Nagani Market Area Ska Appreciation Club. I am one of your hosts. My name is Brad. I am a fantasy baseball god. I'm sitting here live in my living room, and I'm joined with my co-host, my friend, Caleb York, who lives in Madison, Wisconsin. How are you tonight, Caleb?
Here I am. I'm in my office. And do we still appreciate ska? I was wondering about that.
I appreciate ska. I was listening to the Streetlight Manifesto last week. That's so amazing.
They're the only band I ever hear anyone talking about with regards to ska, though. It's like they were that last wave. You know, and they're still kind of around, but I kind of wish ska would come back, and not maybe through the current bands that are still out there, but just something new where I could listen to punk with horns again and feel okay about it.
No, for sure. And I do think though that there's enough vocal, opposition to it. That's going to be a minute before it happens, but I think it's going to happen. Yes, it's the next Nirvana.
Think about the next Nirvana is
the next real big fish.
The next real big fish. I want to be able to go to a ska show where there's not more people in the audience than there is in the band. You know what I mean? Or the other way around.
I knew what you meant. I knew exactly what you meant.
Yeah, but you know, like, I think that disco has come back to some degree, and I don't mean in dance. Like, there was an album on Pitchfork with Todd Turia or something. It was called My Album. I forget what it's called. This Is My Album, and it's all disco straight up, and I loved it. And it's getting great critical remarks, and it's surprising to me that we're okay with this now. The old disco. Maybe we talked about it enough last week that it came back.
Yeah, that's right. We influenced the market.
We set the trend.
I believe it's true. Hey, before we go any further, this is a fan-supported and listener-supported podcast supported by people just like you. We give it to you free of charge every other Thursday at podcasttraderblog.wordpress.com and on iTunes. A couple great ways you can support: rate, review, subscribe on iTunes. Tell a friend via social media, via mouth, via Instagram, via Vine. But if you do have a couple of dollars in your pocket, you can give back monetarily by putting money in my pocket and putting money in Caleb's pocket. We don't have t-shirts, buttons, pictures, posters, or DVDs, or digital downloads, or premium podcasts yet. But if you see one of us, just give us some money, and we'll be very grateful. We know why.
Yeah, we know why. That would be excellent. Or bitcoins. I don't have a Bitcoin wallet, but if you can hand me physical bitcoins, I will accept them. Just give me a dollar bill with a Bitcoin thing written on it, and I'll take it. So, what do you think about Bitcoins? Do you have any interest, or what do you think about them?
Honestly, I never really looked into. I think I get why it happened, and I think it makes sense because it's kind of the wave of the future, I guess. Like, everything's online and everything is. It makes sense, but yeah, I don't really know much about it, honestly.
Yeah, completely decentralized, and I heard about it back in 2011, and I'm like, oh, I should put $100 into Bitcoins just to have them and not to spend them, but to hang on to them. And if I would have done that, I would have, 10 times my money.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just said, oh, this is going to be the next new trend. I should, and I didn't do it, but I don't know. I don't see a use for them yet. I don't have a problem with spending dollars. And, I guess it's one of those, if you don't have anything to hide, don't worry about it. It's kind of a thing. I don't really have anything to hide. So, I mean, if you want to see my garden, it's in the backyard. Feel free. Come on by. I'll crack a beer for you. I got nothing to hide. So,
no, that's true. You did mention that you were working in your garden, but right before the podcast.
Yeah, I had to go out and plant some peas. It is this time of year. So,
I was going to ask you if you had to go put something. I try to work on a joke about peeing in your garden.
Just peeing in my garden. Good nitrogen source for your plants. Yes. Yeah. It's this time of year. I got a bunch of tomato plants in the basement under lights. I got a bunch of cabbage and broccoli. They're all in the garden already. And this is the busy time of year for me. We're just getting everything ready. And come August again is when you start harvesting everything. And I'm going to have tomatoes coming out of my ears. And I love it. I love doing it all. It is a lot of work, though. Just day in, day out. Every evening in the summer, I am out there in the garden. So
that's I think that would be maybe not relaxing because it's hard work, but that would be a nice way to escape and go do something that's just working in the garden. Just doing this instead of everything else that I do in life.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's like this. I love seeing the plants get bigger over time and seeing like, I did that. You know, I gave you the fertilizer and blah, blah, blah. And I love eating them too. I like eating. That's
shut up.
Doesn't hurt.
Makes sense.
So
yeah, we have a tomato plant out front now.
Do you? Do you guys like tomatoes?
I hate tomatoes, but I'm growing them.
I was going to say, I didn't think you liked them. But
no. Well, I don't hate tomatoes, but I'm not a big tomato fan. They're okay. I like them on stuff or in stuff, but like by itself.
Straight up, yeah. Slice of tomato, a little bit of salt on it and pepper, and you don't like it, like, or cherry tomato or anything like that?
No, thanks. That's actually what we're growing is, I don't know if it's cherry tomatoes or if it's, I think it is cherry tomatoes. I didn't buy them. When my mom was here last week, she went to the store, the plants. Actually, I think she went to Home Depot and took Evie to the store and bought some flowers because we have a bunch of planters that were just being were empty. And she went and bought some flowers and some tomatoes and planted them up front with her.
Awesome.
So,
well, good. It's warm enough out down there now that you're in the growing season, so that's great for you guys. And you have such a long season down there compared to us. I would be jealous to like, oh, I can plant lettuce in November and I can still get something out of it, you know?
Yeah. I don't know quite about that, but because it does the ground gets pretty damn cold, but it's certainly earlier here.
I mean,
for sure.
Compared to where we used to live, I saw a video the other day of Brandon Veal jumping in the Portage Canal. Brandon Veal on the podcast tonight, ladies and gentlemen. And
shut up.
There was still ice in the Portage Canal up there.
No. There's these people that have been on my Facebook page doing this, like, jumping a cold water challenge, and they're, like, jumping in Teal Lake, and there's still ice.
Yeah, that's what they're doing. Yeah, something with charity. You're jumping in the lake. And it, yes.
Hilarious, because it was 87 here today for the third day in a row.
God, I'm jealous.
We're it was so nice.
70 now. It was in the 45s last week, if I remember correctly. And it's finally starting to turn around. But we're not here to talk about the weather.
No, we're not here to talk about the weather. What are you here to talk about?
Well, why don't we talk about the movie that we watched this past week or past like yesterday?
We did watch it yesterday. We
American Psycho with Christian Bale. I went into it expecting it to be an actual straight up horror movie. And when I saw Christian Bale and Jared Leto was in it, I was pleasantly surprised. And I don't know, what were your impressions after watching that movie? That's a broad question, but what did you think? Did you like it?
I loved it. I loved the idea of this a person who's a complete psychopath and how they operate, and you know, but at the same time, it was an unrealistic psychopath, which made it, the end kind of make more sense because he was kind of obviously a psychopath.
Oh, sure. Yeah. He actually, in the end of the movie, realized he was kind of crazy, or he wasn't getting punished for the things like he thought. Like, his reality was falling apart at the end of the movie as well.
Right.
But, I mean, he killing all these people during the course of the movie. And I think a lot of the movie is interesting because it meant to take place in, like, 1987, and it came out in 2000, I think. And I think they even, like, with the choice of the video and everything, they really did make it look like it was filmed in 87.
For sure. I noticed that right away, that the film style looked like it was kind of jumpy and old.
Yeah, it's kind of that 80s style, a little bit more grainy and a little bit more video instead of film and everything like that. And they actually filmed it in that way, which was pretty interesting. Yeah. And then I believe it was big critique of the materialism of the 80s and the whole Wall Street culture, and they're just going out to eat all the time, but this guy's a psychopath at the same time.
Right.
And it never really goes into the roots of why he's crazy or anything like that. It's just like, yep, he likes to kill people. And
I just like when he would drop those like serial killer like anecdotes on people, and they'd be like, what?
They're like, what are you talking about? It's like, oh yeah, you know, Ed Gein, the guy who killed and blah blah blah. Yeah. And then they're like,
it was like, sometimes when I see a girl, I wonder, you know, I want to go up and talk to her and be nice to her. And sometimes I wonder what she looked like on a stick.
Exactly. Yeah.
and he was the only one that found that amusing.
Yeah, and everybody else like, we don't know what you're talking about. So
right.
I don't know. I'd be afraid to end up like that character, you know, where you're a psychopath and you're the only one who knows it. Nobody can stop you, but you have a normal life at the same time. You know, I don't know. Maybe I felt that in reading descriptions in the movie after it happened, that it kind of has a cult following, and you either love it or you hate it. And in watching it last night, I kind of thought, boy, I don't get it. I don't associate with this character. I don't identify him with him at all, which I guess I'm not meant to in the first place. But he was just so vain, you know, he's having sex with these prostitutes and filming it and flexing his muscles in the mirror at the same time. Like, fuck, look at how awesome I am. And yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out whether it's more about psychopaths or more about the 1980s. I'm not really sure.
So. Yeah, I think it was probably a good mix of the two. I don't know. I feel a little bit opposite. I really, really liked it. And I actually kind of, the inner psychopath in me identified with the character. Not so much that I want to go and kill everybody.
Well, we all have intrusive thoughts from time to time. You're walking past somebody on the street and you like mentally think of stabbing them or something. And I don't mean that like strongly, but it happens to everybody. And yeah. That's not a great example, but it's almost like he's acting his out. You know what I mean? And he's able to do that, or he can't stop himself. And I don't know. It wasn't as gory as I had expected it to be. But the whole like chasing it with the chainsaw scene, there was some kind of horror movie-esque aspects to it.
That's true. But also, when you think back, though, like with the events that happened towards the end of the movie, and you realize that the whole chainsaw scene probably didn't happen.
I'm not sure about that. Well, the ending of the movie, we're going to reveal it anyway, is that so he calls his lawyer, leaves him a message, and says, oh, yeah, the main guy I killed who I'm being investigated for, I actually did kill him, and this, that, and I killed all these other people. And the lawyer thought he was joking, and Christian Bale's character says, no, I really did kill Paul Allen. And the guy's like, no, I had lunch, or I had dinner with Paul Allen twice in the last week in London.
Yeah.
So I wasn't sure if, in the end, was he really killing all those people or not? I don't know, or was it all in his head?
Yeah, no, I just thought, it just dawned on me too, since the story that he came up with to try and cover up killing Paul Allen was that he went to London. Yes. Maybe his lawyer was just like, I had dinner with him twice in London last week, you idiot. Hello. Mm-hmm. You know, like, don't be admitting this shit, because you know what I mean?
When it was all in his head and the whole time. Oh, okay, I understand what you mean. Oh.
Like, you actually did kill him, yes, but quit telling me that.
Telling me because I don't want you to get in trouble. Yes.
Yes.
I don't know. What that would you do if somebody called you and said, yeah, I just killed 10 people?
I really have no idea.
I've never been the recipient of that kind of a phone call. So, I don't know.
But I dug it. I thought it was good. The only thing I want to talk about is one more thing. It's like when he went to the apartment and he was like, this is Paul Allen's apartment. She was like, no, you need to leave.
Oh, yeah. So that was his reality unraveling again, where he thought he had killed him and went to the apartment and everything. And then it turns out, no, it was somebody who was showing an apartment, basically.
Yeah. And he didn't do anything. He just thought he did.
So maybe the entire movie was fictional. We don't know. It was a mindfuck either way.
Either way. I thought it was great.
I mean, I like the 80s aspects of it. And they did a really good job of showing that side of cinema. I like the idea of it. I thought Christian Bale's character was his acting to me was a little over the top. Overall, I think I had a positive impression on it, though.
Sure.
Yeah. And maybe it was actually meant to be over the top. I don't know.
I liked when he started to just talk about musical artists.
Oh, yeah. Talking about Phil Collins replacing. Yeah.
Or Whitney Houston.
And I was doing that in Killing Somebody.
Like, right.
Another good thing is the Sioux Studio song. A great aspect of Phil Collins' solo career where he really came out commercially and, you know, critically. So, yeah.
And also, every time when he talks about killing somebody, it's about returning videotapes. That's like that's return some videotapes.
And I don't know about you, but any movie that Reese Witherspoon is in pegs it down a notch. I don't like her as an actress.
She's barely in it, though, but I get that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure she's a nice enough person. I just don't like seeing her on the screen. That's all. So
I think she's from around here.
Is she?
Yeah.
Should I shout louder? Hey, Reese! Is she around you right now? She'd hear you.
Not literally around me.
Okay.
Did you hear remember when she got arrested? And she told the cop, she's like, she didn't get arrested, but she got pulled over or something, and she was all drunk, and she's like, don't you know who I am?
Yeah. I heard about that.
Yeah.
I just, like Legally Blonde and everything are just on the list of the worst movies that could be possibly made. And I don't know. Maybe that's her choice, and I'm sure she's a wonderful person. Maybe not. I don't know.
Maybe not. I'm sure she is. I would assume she is.
Yep.
Okay. I don't know.
All right. Any final thoughts about that? I think we got everything out we needed to get.
I think we did. Yeah, that's pretty well covered.
Okay, I have picked three documentaries.
Oh, shit.
That you can pick between for the next show, which would be May 14th, right? May 21st.
No. Yeah.
May 21st, which may be the last episode for a while because the 2 weeks after that, I'm going to be in Europe. But Ooh. We might have to pack another episode in somewhere there. But, okay.
All right, solo.
Yep, so you do a solo show.
I'll use the Ken theme instead of the...
instead of the Guile theme.
Instead of the Guile theme, because I'm a Ken guy. So.
You're a Ken guy? I figured you were a Ryu person. But I know you're a racist. You prefer Americans.
I absolutely prefer blonde Americans.
Blonde Americans. Hadouken! Okay, we have three documentaries. The first
Beyonce, one. Baby, and Beyond.
I'm close. the first one, Exit Through the Gift Shop, which is the documentary about Banksy, the graffiti artist out of the UK. I have had that on my list for a while. I haven't seen it yet. I heard it's very good. Number two, it's just called Knuckleball. It is a baseball documentary about knuckleball pitching, starring R.A. Dickey and Tim Wakefield, and going over knuckleballs in general. It's 90 minutes of knuckleballs. So it's like watching an R.A. Dickey start, basically. And then third on the list, a movie called Wrestling for Jesus, The Tale of T-Money. And apparently it is about a Christian pro wrestler. Let me try to find this synopsis. A man from rural South Carolina tries to find solace from the demons of his past by starting a Christian professional wrestling league. So,
making things quite difficult on me with a third... third choice there. I will say this. I've seen Knuckleball.
You have seen Knuckleball. Okay.
Yeah, I watched it last year.
Right.
It's pretty good. It's okay. I've had also had Exit Through the Gift Shop in my Netflix queue forever.
Okay.
And the Wrestling with God, what was it called?
It's called Wrestling for Jesus, The Tale of T-Money.
Yeah. As tempting as it is, because I do love professional wrestling. I'm going to pick Exit Through the Gift Shop.
Okay, we'll keep it serious, at least for the time being. So.
I know. And I wanted to see, I already have my movies for next week next time picked out, which you're not going to get to watch because you're going to be in Germany. Yep. Where are you going?
I'm going to Greece for like 10 days.
Holy shit.
This is a 15-day trip. And then we are going to Germany for like the last 3 or 4 days of the trip.
Yeah, I knew you weren't getting out of going to Europe without going to Germany.
Yeah, well, beer fest, man. We're going to enjoy it.
So. No, I know. Yeah, that's both of you are
Germanophiles.
Absolutely.
Love Nazis. Yep.
Fuck.
All about the Nazis. We have a party meeting to go to. So we get to push the beer hall. So.
Exit Through the Gift Shop is the movie. Caleb?
Yep.
Let's do a Mad Lib.
Okay, let's do it.
All right, here's how it's going to work, ladies and gentlemen. I have the Mad Lib in my hand, on paper, with pen. Bought it from Old Navy like 2 years ago.
Yep.
I still haven't finished it all. What I have is I'm not looking at the story. I'm only going to read it what the next word's going to be, and I'm going to participate too because I feel like I want to. Whatever. Yes. Yeah. So I'm going to start with you, though, and I'm going to ask you for a verb ending in ing.
A verb ending in ing. I'm going to say shitting. How about shitting?
Perfect.
Okay.
D-I-N-G. I have to do a plural noun. I'm going to go with balls. Okay. Adjective.
Adjective. Brown.
Brown. Very good. I'm going to go with plural noun. And I'm going to go with assholes.
Okay.
All right, same plural noun, assholes.
I didn't know this Mad Libs was about people from Ishpeming, but whatever. It
totally is. Yep. Same plural noun, assholes. Three in a row. Okay, now you got to give me a plural noun.
Plural noun. Douchebags.
Douchebags. How do you spell douchebags?
D-O-U-C. Yeah, it's for you.
Yeah. I'm reading it, so. All right. Anyway, okay. Noun. I'm gonna go with I don't know.
Condom.
Okay, you give me condom.
Condom.
Condom. Okay, I'm gonna do this now then. I'm gonna go with hair. Okay. I don't know. Okay. That's not a good one.
Pubic hair. That's better.
All right, pubic hair.
Yeah.
Pubic. Okay. Plural noun.
Cacti.
Oh. Cacti.
Yes.
Okay, I'm gonna noun. I'm gonna go with boobs.
Boobs. Okay, great.
Yeah. Okay, body part.
Body part. shoulder.
Shoulder. Shoulder. Adverb. Oh, shittily.
Shittily. You need to bring that one back.
Yeah, no.
It needs airplay.
It was done shittily. Okay, a number.
69.
Six. It's hilarious. plural noun. I'm gonna go with fucks.
Fucks. Zero fucks given.
Zero fucks given. body part.
But another one.
Yeah.
What do they call that thing they cut off? This is turning into an explicit podcast. Foreskin.
Really?
Foreskin. There you go.
Foreskin. All right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I finish it off with an adjective, and I'm going to go with shitty.
Shitty. Okay.
Okay. This Mad Lib is called close dancing is cool again.
Again.
All right, here we go. The waltz, the merengue swing, the ballroom shitting are making a comeback with the kids of all balls.
All balls.
A recent study shows a brown percentage of students in elementary assholes, middle assholes, and even high assholes are dropping their phys ed douchebags in golf, bowling, and condom pong.
Oh my God.
to take up pubic hair dancing. close dancing, in which partners hold each other's cacti and put their boobs around each other's shoulder.
Those are some hangers.
it's considered shittily cool these days.
Shittily cool.
Sociologists predict that within the next 69 years, almost all teen fucks will once again be dancing cheek. What does that say?
Cheek to foreskin.
Cheek to foreskin. Will once again be dancing cheek to foreskin to the sound of a shitty band.
Shitty ball, there you go. Like every school dance, it's right. So, well, there you go. Was that condom pong instead of
condom pong?
All right, yeah, we have a show title then. It's a
great condom pong. Absolutely, that's
all right. Well, great. That was a good interlude. I wanted to talk about the iHeartRadio Music Awards show, and I have no idea if you caught any of it. I definitely did not.
Mm.
But you did or did not? I'm sorry.
I did not.
You did not. Did you know it occurred?
No. I did not.
Okay.
Was it on Sunday?
Monday, I think. Monday night? Yeah.
I have no idea.
So my boss said he caught part of it, and he said the performers that were there looked like they did not want to be there at all, and they just showed up because their record company made them. Like, they were not happy to win the awards. They were just present. And it made me think about the whole iHeartRadio bullshit marketing scheme. It's just – I don't know. I get my rant out of the way here, but the thing with iHeartRadio is it's like a clear channel thing that's trying to keep us listening to terrestrial radio instead of anything on the internet. So it was basically marketing for that. And do we really need another music award show at this point in time? I mean, there's the Grammys, the American Music Awards. There's a whole bunch of them for country. There's the MTV Music Awards, a billion of them. And I don't know. I guess when I thought of this topic earlier in the week, I had more to say about it. But we're saturated with award shows, it seems like, at this point in time.
Well, it takes an award show to get people to tune in to watch performers perform. And when people see performers perform, they go and buy their shit.
Yeah, exactly.
And really what they want is people to go and buy the record. Not necessarily. I mean, sure, buy the record, but definitely hear the record. Sure. Or hear the music on iHeartRadio or on fucking Clear Channel. Clear Channel. Yeah.
It's complete cross promotion and everything. That's all it is. It's re-promoting these terrestrial radio stations, which, you know, I don't know. Looking at the categories that they chose for the awards to try to get people to tune in, best Instagram account of an artist.
Oh, my God.
Best song lyrics. And they picked a bunch of songs, several of which, including the winner, who is Miley Cyrus, did not actually write the lyrics to the song.
Yeah.
And then
surprising.
Best fan base for and of course it was all, you know, fan voting, so it was whoever had the most people ended up voting for it. And I didn't know all the different fan bases had names. You know, like the Little Monsters and I don't know, Miley. Yeah. It surprised me, and maybe I just sound old, but I saw that this is a gigantic marketing opportunity as opposed to being a true, you know, I think the Grammys, at least they're being the granddaddy of them all, try to get it right, and they still try to have all these different categories for which that, you know, they're trying to actually pick the best album.
Yeah, I believe that too. I also think, you know, that there's politics involved with the Grammys as much as there is.
Yeah, not going to do
anything else, but yeah, no, and iHeartRadio Music Awards is purely there for promotional purposes. It's only there to make money.
Yeah,
and I mean, there's a difference between the type of music that's made for art and for because you like it, and it's music that's made for money.
Yeah,
and anything you hear on Clear Channel is made for money.
Absolutely, and you know what? The first thing that pissed me off about Clear Channel is that after 9/11, they decided they pushed out a list to all of their affiliate stations saying, we're not allowed to play these songs anymore because it'll remind people of 9/11. Right. Or they were unpatriotic, according to them. And they pulled the entire catalog of Rage Against the Machine from Clear Channel Station, which just completely pissed me off.
Speaking of offshoot tangent, places you never expect to hear Rage Against the Machine, last night and I was at the Lipscomb University baseball game.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, a little like bumper music between innings with some Rage song, which I couldn't remember what it was at the time. But I was like, oh, that's the last thing I expected to hear at this Church of Christ school's baseball game. But all right.
I heard Ba With Da Ba the other day by Kid Rock. And I had to like look up the information. Like, why do people like this? Kid Rock, oh yeah, progenitor of rap metal, including Rage Against the Machine. And I always felt that I hated rap metal, but I always carved out an exception for Rage Against the Machine. I don't know why. But yeah. I don't know. There's been nobody with as much of a political message as Rage Against the Machine has had since then. No one's had the political impact, I don't think, since then.
Well, yeah, impact, because there's been other artists that have been, you know, political and been vocal about what they do, but you have to also be like you want to listen, like catchy, you want to listen to it, you know what I mean? Like you hear Rage, you get fired up.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And it's kind of crossed to the fact that you know the lyrics and you can kind of like, you know, every time I hear Rage to this day, I still can't believe that their first album is like 12 years old or 22 years old. I'm sorry.
You go at this point? Yeah. Yeah. That's how I feel about everything from about 10 years. Holy crap. That came out 10 years ago. Oh my God. You know?
Yeah. Right.
64 seems like yesterday to me, but.
But the one band that I come across that I really dig that has been, in my view, like with their lyrics and what they stand for, that has been the most Rage-like, it doesn't sound like Rage, though, is this band called Let Live.
Let Live, okay.
Yeah. It's very loud. It's very fast-paced. If you watch the guys perform live, too, the lead singer, I forget his name right now, the dude is an absolute insane on stage. Like, I don't know how he doesn't break every bone in his body every night, but it's they're really cool. Like they have a I dig their music and I dig their message at the same time. Awesome. But they're one band that a lot of people kind of compare to the mindset and the energy of Rage.
Okay.
For today's generation, I guess.
But I've heard of them. I'll have to give them a listen to see if they're anything close. Because for me, there's been no Rage before and no Rage since.
No, and I would not say expect Rage. I would say expect a band that's loud with a great message, but at the same time, you know. It makes me want to punch everything.
Exactly.
And drive really fast, and it makes me.
Yeah, it pumps you up for. Yeah, you know what? When I'm running, like I ran a race on Saturday, and I get to that last mile, there's one thing that pumps me up and makes me go faster, and that's 80s hair metal.
Really?
And I'm talking like, I don't know. This is a broad category, but like I'll listen to any Def Leppard. Or the Scorpions, or the Final Countdown.
Yes.
Any of that will get me going.
That's awesome.
That last year. Van Halen and every I love that stuff.
That would be great. That would probably totally work.
I don't know why I associate that with like fuck yeah, but it really helps me get going at the end of a race.
Hey man, do what you gotta do, man. You gotta crush that personal record, which I understand. You told me that you did on your race.
I demolished. Yeah, my old one was this was a 12-mile race, and my old one was 2 hours, and I did this one an hour 52, and I was pretty happy with that. 9-minute miles, and this race was a study in pain. My feet hurt for the first couple miles, and my hamstring started hurting, which I hurt during a cross-country ski race in January.
Mm.
And then after a while, I got a stitch in my side. And I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but if you have prominent nipples, they start to rub on your shirt. And you hit like mile 8, and all that rubbing starts to bruise and crack and bleed your nipples. And you gotta keep running for the rest of the race, and so just rubbing your nipple, it hurts like hell.
I experienced that.
Right of the bloody nipples at the end of in a rainstorm, it gets extra bad. So
yeah, I imagine. No, I've not experienced that. Thankfully,
yeah.
Maybe that's why my running regimen is so light.
Certain things will happen after mile 8 that I would never have expected if I hadn't ran to that point. So, and bloody nipples is one of those things.
Oh my god! Good lord.
Bloody other spots too that we're not going to talk about. I want to talk to you about hockey.
Holy shit.
So we're doing the hockey playoffs, and I'm having the hardest damn time following any of them. And I don't know if it's a lack of energy or lack of focus, but you love hockey, right?
Mm-hmm, I do.
I love live hockey.
Yes, it's better live.
I feel that it's so much better live that the TV product is not as good.
Sure.
And last year, I know you and your brother and everybody, Tom Featherstone, way into hockey, I tried to get into it. So I picked a team. I picked the Canadiens. Everyone looked funny at me, but I said, hey, I can watch the games in French. Practice my French. You know, kill
No. It totally makes 100% sense to me.
Yeah. So I started watching it, and I actually got into PK Subban, Carey Price, Max Pacioretty, and everything like that. And I think they made the playoffs and got knocked out pretty early. But like this September, the season came around, and I just couldn't get myself into it. And I don't know why. Live hockey, I love going to.
Yeah.
I don't know. What draw does hockey have for you? What do you like about it?
I like that it
– For playoff hockey, you know, especially.
Well, what I like about hockey, ultimately, when somebody says, what do you like about hockey? Like you just said to me, the first thing that I like about hockey is the unpredictability of what's about to happen.
Uh-huh.
Anything can happen in a matter of seconds. Just a blink of an eye. Everything could change. That's what I like about hockey. What's keeping me engaged to these playoffs, even though my team didn't even make the playoffs I knew it wasn't going to make the playoffs for a long time.
They fired their coach and everything, yeah.
Yes, but we got Peter Laviolette now, and I'm very excited about it. But honestly, it's just this habit of listening to the Merrick vs. Wyshynski podcast.
Interesting.
Yeah. Is that listening to two guys who are very educated and well-versed in hockey talk about hockey for an hour, 5 days a week,
mm-hmm.
makes me continue to keep my interest in what's going on.
Yeah,
because they're not really attempting to hype up the games that night. They're talking about it, and so I'm like, oh, man, Montreal, Boston, I got to watch this game. Mm-hmm. Is P.K. Subban going to do it again? Is he going to break the hearts of the Bruins? Is the Montreal actually going to do this? Are they going to pull off this beating everyone's pick from the East in Boston this year? Is it going to happen? I got to find out. I have to watch.
Yeah. And Montreal did advance to the next round. I know that. They beat Boston in 7, correct? And how are they doing now?
Actually, they beat they swept Tampa.
Okay, they swept Tampa. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're playing Boston now. Okay. Actually, I think they're playing right now.
Right now?
Shit. Yeah. No, they're not. There's only one game tonight. Pittsburgh beat New York 4-2. But they play tomorrow.
Yes, I think that with baseball, I really like knowing all the characters in the story. And you name a baseball player, you'd be like, oh, yeah, he's on that team. These are his pitches or whatever. This is his level of quality of a player. He's a good hitter. He's terrible in the field, whatever. Yes. I don't have that for hockey. I tried playing fantasy hockey with Matt a couple of years ago.
Me too.
And I'm just like, okay, Steven Stamkos. I've heard of him. I think he's good. Everybody else, I don't know. I just...
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I'm not familiar with that universe of players yet.
Yeah, and I think that's a problem with a lot of fans, people that like hockey, but they're just not familiar with the product, you know.
Yeah.
And it's still a case with me. And somebody talks about, you know, I mentions a player from some team that plays like in Phoenix or something like that. I'm like, I know the name, but I really don't know what kind of player he is, you know. But there's certain guys that I understand, like the reputation, you know, that goes with the guy. Like he's talking about a guy like Rafi Torres. I know that he's a dirty, cheap shot jerk. You know what I mean? Like it's just who he is, you know.
Or like George Two or something like that. You know, same thing, right? You like him? I don't know.
I do.
Everybody else hates him.
Yeah, well, that's because he used to, you know, pop off on everybody and just kind of
respect for him. The one game I saw him in Nashville with you, he got into 2 5-minute fight. You know, he got 2 5-minute majors for fighting.
Yeah, in the same period.
And it was pretty awesome to see that. He was sticking up for his teammates.
Yes.
And then he went to Detroit and everyone's like, oh, fuck this guy. You hate him. And yeah.
Mostly my brother.
Like, yeah, mostly your brother. Everybody equals your brother. And so it was interesting that, well, it's interesting that having a podcast like that, two knowledgeable guys talking about the game they love for an hour each day, really does make you think you're sitting around with friends and shooting the shit about hockey. Yes. And I did listen to a couple episodes of that every once in a while, and I found that their knowledge base was just way too deep for me to follow what the hell they're talking about. And I guess if I had some knowledge, it would help.
Yeah, but I guess so. Yeah, because, I mean, just as a casual, like, I thought I was a hardcore hockey fan back in like 2008.
Yep.
But that was before I moved to Nashville and like started following the Predators and like really got into the team and then got really into the league. It came with it naturally and became just a massive hockey fan shortly thereafter just because I got caught up in the whole thing. And just from observing just on a daily basis, like what's going on in the league, you know, reading, you know, certain, you know, whatever articles pop up and things like that, you just kind of start to learn who these people are that are involved in the game. And you just start to just kind of recognize everything about it to the point where it starts to become more natural. But like I said, I'm still not there. You know, I'm in the grand scheme, as far as a hardcore fan, I'm still a relatively new hardcore fan. It's only been within the last 4 years, 3 or 4 years that I've been really,
Yeah, and you're learning all the time. I mean, I'm still that way with baseball, where I'm still learning all the time when it comes to pitch selection and transactions and how everything works like that. It's pretty interesting. Well, I mean, the reason I brought this up is because there is a Madison Junior Hockey team now. Yeah. As of this year, there's going to be in the North American Junior League. Mm-hmm. And they did their draft of all the midget players like in the past couple of days, and they ended up drafting Timu Solani's son.
Really?
Yeah, his name is Eitu Salani.
All right.
I'm looking forward to actually going to, because live hockey I love. I love the action. I love they can turn, you know, you can't look away for 10 seconds. It can change on a dime.
The other thing that's great about watching live hockey is you don't have to follow the puck. You can follow what else is going on the ice. Stuff that's away from the play that's interesting. You know, like the line changes and like the jawing back and forth behind the play, like between, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's something I never knew until I actually saw live hockey. Holy crap. Why are they changing all? I never knew that they changed lines. Picked that up.
So, nice.
Yeah, it's interesting. So, okay. Well, that's all I got to say about hockey. Hockey's a great game, and I'll try to get into it. You know, usually by the Stanley Cup Finals, I'll watch some of those games.
But, sure. Hey, you know, like I said, Montreal's got a 2-1 lead on Boston in the series right now, which is pretty surprising. Okay. Because Boston's kind of like everyone's pick, like far and away coming out of the East. So it's interesting right now.
How is Marquette's own Justin Florek doing? I know he scored a goal in the last series.
He did score a goal. I forget it was. I think it was like the first game, but I haven't really. I don't even know. I think he might have been getting scratched because he's not exactly. He was in there for injury, you know. And
healthy scratch kind of guy.
Yeah. Yeah, he's on the team, but he's a healthy scratch. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
interesting.
All right. He might have been playing. I don't know. I haven't really been watching the Boston series as much, like the last series so much. But I've been trying to pay attention to this series because it's the most intriguing series to me is this Boston Montreal series. But
sure. Yeah. Okay. And speaking of podcasts, I heard some piece of news today that Major League Baseball is trying to get iTunes to purge podcasts that are team specific about baseball, saying that they need to protect their trademark.
Yes.
I think it's complete bullshit. And they're damaging their own brand when they're doing that.
Absolutely. You got a collection of people who are literally giving them free press.
Yeah, giving them free press about their own teams. Exactly. Yeah.
That's so stupid. And what I understood, though, is that the 5 or 6 podcasts that got pulled from iTunes had the team's name right in the title.
Yeah. Well, what's the problem with that? Issue. I mean, it's about that team. What a surprise. Yeah, is that a problem? Is the issue that MLB thinks that people are going to think that these podcasts come from the team as opposed to coming from fans? Then the fans can put a disclaimer in the podcast. I'm not affiliated with the Chicago Cubs who suck. You know, that's all they have to do.
Right. Although when I was reading the list of podcasts that got pulled, whatever, I really dug the my dog is driving me crazy. The one that was the Rangers, was it Rangers podcast at Arlington or something like that?
Which is the
playoff. Yeah. Rangers ballpark at Arlington, which is a ridiculous name for a stadium in the first place.
The ballpark at Arlington. Yeah. Wasn't like Camden Yards, something like that too? Camden, I don't know. The Oakland Athletic at the landfill or something. I forgot.
The one team specific podcast I listened to, Atlanta Baseball Talk, they said that they had not been affected. So
okay, good, because they don't talk about the Braves or anything like that. I mean, what MLB was getting, they're getting Apple to remove the podcast from the iTunes store. They're pressuring them in whatever way they could, which is surprising to me that they would lawyer up in order to do that. But
I think it's stupid. I think it's dumb. Yep. Like you said, it's damn it. Like, yeah, I don't get it.
Yep.
You got fans talking about your product. Isn't that what you want?
Yeah, isn't that what you want? Yeah, people introducing interest into a product? Yes. There are Detroit Tigers podcasts out there I've listened to from time to time. But, yeah, I mean, if they're just going after the ones that have Detroit Tigers in the name, well, I don't know. That bugs me a little bit, too. I hate the whole lawsuit culture we have, right? But... Nothing
I know.
About that.
No.
So, and the last thing I want to talk about is the this is going to be like news items of the show.
Yes.
The idea that Dave Letterman's quitting and Craig Ferguson's quitting and all of the movement in late night TV. Do you watch much late night, or have you in a while? Or
It has been a minute since I watched, but I used to be every night. I mean, even as recent as a couple months ago, or I was watching late night TV on a regular basis. Lately, I just haven't really turned on the TV at night, I guess.
Yeah.
If we do, it's like maybe watch an episode of Breaking Bad before we finish it. Or like we started catching up on Mad Men recently. Or like I've been, you know, watching the movie last week. Or like watching baseball late at night. But I haven't really turned on Kimmel or anybody in a while.
A lot of TV watching is going into on-demand or live sports. And away from... I don't know. I hear all the movement in late night and how Colbert is going to take over the throne and how this is big and important. It's Johnny Carson's seat. Are people still staying up and watching anymore? I don't know.
Or yeah, I believe
watching clips on the internet the day after, or, you know.
I think it's a little bit of both, but I do believe that people are still staying up, or else they would, if they weren't making money, they'd do something else.
Exactly.
But at the same time, there's a certain history involved with, you know. Mm-hmm. Having this on the air for so long that they're not just going to theoretically just yank it because it's not making the money. Though they do that with the soap operas, but that's
true. Story. That's true. Yeah. I was wondering what one the other day, what soap operas are left right now? Because I know they've canceled a couple in the past couple of years. If I
remember. Well, the only one left on NBC is Days of Our Lives.
Okay.
And as far as, I don't really even know.
So
I
you got that. Rid of like Guiding Light and Passions is done. I knew that.
Yes. My wife was an avid watcher of Passions.
Yeah.
And then after that, she would watch Days pretty whenever she could, you know.
Wasn't there like a soap opera with a bunch of supernatural elements in it or something? Yeah, like witches and stuff.
That was Passions.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And then there, Young and the Restless and General Hospital and All My Children. And yeah, I don't know. I remember watching Young and the Restless for like a month, and I didn't understand anything that was going on after a month. So I just
If there was ever a soap that I did watch, it was The Young and the Restless because it came on immediately after The
Price is Right. Absolutely. Yeah, exactly.
So I have a weird soft spot for the theme song for The Young and the Restless.
Oh, yeah, the piano theme. Da, 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 da. I know exactly what you mean.
Dun, 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 dun.
So you've always been a Kimmel guy, I want to say, haven't you?
Originally back in the day when I was like 12, I was a Leno guy. Uh-huh. And then I found Dave Letterman. It was sort of like when I used to drink Pepsi and then found Coke.
Yep.
I was like, what was I doing? Like Pepsi is fucking terrible and Coke is delicious. So the same thing. But then all of a sudden like I got older and like Letterman got older and it wasn't the same anymore to me. And then Jimmy Kimmel came along, and his show is hilarious. Mm-hmm. And I've been a Jimmy Kimmel guy for a few years.
Yeah.
As far as the earlier shows go.
I feel like, Jay Leno, is he's completely done now? Yes. Yeah, he's done. His show never changed to me.
Right.
Letterman did get older in time, slower, not quite as sharp, not quite as biting of humor, and a lot more... Not necessarily absurdist, but just like, where is he going with this?
Right. Pretty random stuff. Like guys walking on stage and like taking his papers or something, walking away and be like,
what the hell was that? And were we
didn't mention it and just move on. Yeah. Like stuff like that. Like that's so random. That's hilarious. But at the same time, like that shtick kind of wore off as I got older.
I guess. But I felt Conan O'Brien did a little bit of that too, but at least he would acknowledge the guy. He had a little more of an edge and you knew that was coming. He could get away with more. He was experimental. Yeah, but
when Conan would do it, he'd be like, what the hell was that? You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, he was.
Letterman was just like completely no sell, if anything like that.
Yeah, just like water off a duck's back, whatever just happened. Okay, we'll move on. Hey, Paul, it's the top 10 list. And
right.
Yeah. I mean, I was always a Letterman guy and then Conan after that.
But, yeah, exactly. Then when Conan was at TBS, I don't think I've seen clips online of Conan. Like, I don't have cable. I haven't had cable in 5 years.
Yeah.
So I haven't really seen it. And I found out that I didn't really miss him. I'm okay. Whatever, you know.
Yeah. I haven't watched Conan since then, I don't think. And I don't know. I mean, think about the other. Tom Snyder was never funny. Craig Kilborn was never funny to me.
I never liked Craig Kilborn. He made a horrible joke after professional wrestler Owen Hart died.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was like, you don't joke about that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
He was like such a basketball guy and just talking basketball all the time, and that just didn't interest me at all. I don't know. He wasn't funny to me.
No.
But I don't know. I wonder about the future of late night and if it's going to keep going. I don't really like Jimmy Fallon that much, but...
I do. I've probably watched 3 episodes of his since he moved to the Tonight Show, but from what I gathered, it's the same show that he had on late night, mm-hmm. just... an hour earlier, which I liked his show. Mm-hmm. I haven't watched it, I guess. I don't, there's this weird spot about being on in the 12:30 spot where you feel like when you watch it and they're getting away with everything, you're like, yeah, no big deal. Mm-hmm. But when he's doing these weird skits that maybe aren't that funny, but they're funny when you're the only one watching, I guess. When it's the type of comedy that you have in your back pocket that's just for you. Mm-hmm. I guess it makes it funnier, but when you know that it's on at 11:30 or 10:30 my time, which is nice.
Yeah, it definitely is. Yeah,
It feels kind of weird, like this is not going to get over with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel weird about it.
I wondered about that with Conan when Conan moved to the West Coast and had to get the Tonight Show banned and everything and kind of had to clean his show up a little bit, you know? So
yeah.
It was interesting. Well, you're starting to break up, so we might need to cut it short. Well, I wouldn't say cut it short. We've been talking for an hour. but start to trim it up here. So
let's wrap this thing up. I already did the whole spiel at the beginning. Yep. So if you missed it, go back to the beginning and listen to it again because it's really good.
I need a correction here. The album I was talking about earlier by Todd Turia, T-E-R-J-E, it's called It's Album Time. It is a pretty good disco album, so go and check it out.
Okay. Everybody do that. And if you're also just like want to listen to something that's amazing and you don't know what to listen to, go listen to
Toilet Bowl Cleaners. Is what you're
yes, saying. Go listen to Toilet Bowl Cleaners. No, for real, though. Go listen to the new single, the new song by Vacationer. It's called The Wildlife. It's really good.
All right. I can't wait. Speaking of the Toilet Bowl Cleaners, I was in contact with a guy on Twitter, and it's very interesting how with Twitter you can just talk to anybody now. So I said, I'll get you to the top of my Spotify list, and I did it, and he was happy. And he put a song out about all the Beatles solo albums, and I tweeted him on that saying, oh yeah, I agree with this. And he was like, oh yeah, it's amazing how you can just talk to anybody now.
That's true.
But
it really is true.
Yeah. Oh man, he actually has some good songs, and if I'm in a bad mood at work, I'll just put on Beep Beep Hong Kong, Kong Horn, and or something. Yeah.
I think that I'm with you that I liked it more than I was supposed to like it.
Sure. And I've played that album, the Transportation album, for people at work, and they're like, what is this? And hearing the interview with the guy where they asked him, what do you think about the quality of your songs? Do you think they're of good quality? And he goes, you know what? The important part is that they exist, and it's better that they exist than if they don't. Like, yeah, definitely.
It's a good answer. I liked it more than I think I should.
Be better off that there's a song about pooping in the back of the toilet tank than if we didn't have a song about pooping in the back of the toilet tank. I'm just saying. I think we are, as a culture.
So, I think so, too.
We have the ability to discuss this. If you listen, I'm driving down a road. Yeah. La, la. We're on a road. The road is on the ground. It's you pick up his verbal tics after a while. But, yeah, go listen to him, everybody.
Please.
Yeah. So, I think we're about to wrap it up. We should plug ourselves. You can follow me on Twitter and decide which sunglasses I should wear at CALEBYORK.
Mm-hmm. And you can follow me on Twitter in a number of ways. You can follow me at Brad Perella. You can follow me at Brad Perella 2, which I wanted to discuss at some point. You can follow me at Podcastrated, which apparently I'm the only one who is operating that account at this point. You can follow me, let's see here. Where else can you follow me? You can follow me at Not Adam Hamari.
Yes, on our new fake MLB umpire Twitter account, which I find is actually very difficult to get going.
Yeah, it's
there's tough. so many jokes you can make about umpires and Youpert stuff.
That's true. You can follow me at Blackhawks_lose. You can follow me at OMG Bullshit.
OMG Bullshit, that's you? I didn't know.
That is me. That is me and Katie Johnson and Tegan.
Okay. Interesting.
And you can follow my daughter at Evie Perella, but don't do that because
she's got no much to say. She was a womb kicker for a while, if I remember.
She was, and her bio is not a womb kicker anymore. And she was followed by an account called Sex the Band. So I got a notification like Sex the Band followed you, Evie Perella, and I was like, oh, okay. So I tweeted them back. I was like, thanks for the follow. I'm going to be 3 next week. God.
Sex the Band. Okay, that's all I got to say. And I'm going to West Virginia starting on Friday for a wedding. I'll be there for 4 days, so I will report back on how that goes.
And I'm going to North Nashville starting on Friday because I got to go to work.
Awesome. Right. Okay, live here from West Virginia, I'm Caleb, and have a good night, everybody.
And I'm Brad, and I like to end things awkwardly.
Okay. Well, that was stupid. Thank you. EDM, is that now the current dance club music or what?
Yeah, basically. I mean, it's, you know, it's like, bam, bam, bam,
bam, bam, bam, yeah, pretty much.
You know,
does Knife Party sound anything like Skrillex or anybody else in the I have no idea anymore.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay,
but it's less dubstep. It's like Skrillex is really, you know, like the beat drop.
Yeah.
It's more. You can put that at the end. But no, it's more.
Yeah, I know what you mean. The house style or whatever you want to call it.
Yes, right. But it still has those sounds in there.
Sure. Yeah, but Skrillex is like, let the beat drop. You know, you get that, yeah, the breakdown in the middle of the song. Yeah. I like how your camera is shaking. Like you're actually letting the beat drop. That's great. Oh.